I'd like to ask you now, you've mentioned the term the European project, and effectively you use that term to refer to the project of European unity, unification, launched by Jean Monnet in the 1940s. Where are we in terms of this project at the beginning of the 21st century? Robert?
Well, we've succeeded really against all the odds and all expectations, in a way, in creating a supranational European legal order, which is the most promising achievement, a much undervalued achievement, very much taken for granted. There is too much focus on what's happened in the economic field, which I don't think is anything to shout about. We're no more integrated economically now than we were in the late 19th century. But what is truly remarkable has been the creation of a supranational legal order, putting relations between states as well as within states within a single overarching framework of law. And I think this achievement has deep roots historically as well as in recent sort of post-1945 experience, in that it has been the main way in which Europe or Europeans have tried to cope with their diversity. In contrast to other continents, which have usually had a dominant power, usually an imperial power, and other states, insofar as they exist as states, are tributaries or subsidiaries to this dominant power, Europe has always been made up of a plurality of small and medium-sized states. There have been a few attempts to establish a single imperial hegemon, but these have never succeeded. So that Europe has had to try and devise ways of coming to terms with, living with, and making it possible the peaceful coexistence of very diverse states as well as peoples. And Europeans have set about doing this by creating a state system and a legal order, going back to the beginnings of the whole concept of international law and sort of Grotius. And the accomplishments of the European communities and latterly the European Union should be seen as a continuation of that, taking it a stage further to actually put all relations between European states within a single overarching legal framework, which doesn't just apply to the current members of the European Union, but now applies to virtually all the states of Europe, in that nearly all the states of Europe are either aspiring to membership or have some kind of treaty of association with the European Union, and these treaties tie or commit these aspirant states to adopting most of the acquis communautaire, the accumulated body of European Union law, into their own domestic legal frameworks in order to prepare them for eventual membership. So that this has now become a unifying force and a very powerful one.
I worry very much about the status of the current European Union project, and I think, as Hugh said earlier, there are different European projects. The current European Union project is in principle an attractive attempt to create a democratic, supranational Europe, and that, I think, offers Europeans a much more attractive future than the alternative projects of fascism and certainly communism, which have ravaged the continent during the past 60 or so years. What concerns me about the current European Union project is that to succeed, it has to create a democracy which protects the rights of the citizenry. In other words, it has to be explicitly supranational, and it has to command the loyalty of a range of diverse peoples. And I think we have seen over the past 10 years or so that Europe has increasingly divided individual nations against themselves. And I'm not talking about Britain solely, though Britain is a very interesting case of this, but of France and of Denmark and so forth. I think the fundamental problem with the European project is the strategy with which it has been realised, that you have economic integration first through creating a common market. You then move to superimpose onto that common market social regulation, and eventually you build political regulation. Europe, I think, has been seen as overly technocratic, and it's understood overly in terms of economic cost and benefit, and the reasons large sections of opinion in member countries support continuing membership is precisely for that reason. And I think if political union is to command greater loyalty, it is incumbent upon political leaders who support the European project to go out and sell the idea of a country called Europe that can command the loyalty of most people within the European Union, if that project is to succeed.
Thank you. Hugh, what about a country called Europe?
Yes, well, I think actually the social project of Europe is extremely important, and that's, I think, the price of the economic Union of Europe is that because we're a democracy, we've got referendums as to whether nation states, member states go forward to the next stage of integration and so on. So you have to be able to sell the project to the people. And the way you do it is to say, OK, economic union may involve huge changes associated with globalization and flexibility of workforce and so on. And so we will protect you as citizens. We will protect your cultural identity. We say we will believe in a multicultural Europe, and we will protect your employment status, or we will provide you with help for finding a new job if you lose your job as a result of the economic changes. And so the price of the economic union is the social project, and that's why that's so important. I think you have to be able to persuade people that the social project is what potentially will persuade people that the economic policy and the political policy is in fact worthwhile.